Welcome back, everyone. Today I am here with Jacqueline Dunn. She is the health and wellness queen from across the pond. We are going international today on the podcast from Essex, England. She is a holistic and homeopathic health coach, nutritional therapist, hypnotherapist, medical freedom activist, best-selling author, so many hats. The amazing Jacqueline, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
I am so excited to dive in. I know I want to dive right into your story and how you got into what you were doing, how you went from a corporate position as an accountant to health and wellness guru and all of the things in between. So let's start there because I think I always love, being the pharmacist that has shifted from the corporate to the mom and pop to the holistic and, wellness space. I find it even more fascinating when somebody with a completely different background shifts, and a lot of time that's with purpose, and you have an amazing story. So do share when did this transformation start?
So there was a bit of a defining moment, which I'll explain, but actually when I look back at my journey, there was little things that happened that kind of started to drag me onto a more holistic path. Because when I had an autoimmune condition from about 21 years old called pernicious anemia, and I was told I would never be able to make or absorb B12 without having it in affected, and eventually I will have lots of nerve damage because of this. And I was okay just to inject B12 going forward for the rest of my life. It was only monthly, and I thought, well, gee, some people have to inject every mealtime when they have diabetes. So I kind of just accepted it because that's what the doctor said. And my way of thinking then was just, if the doctor says it, that's what we do. They know best. Doc knows best. I was an accountant. I was working very long hours. And then I became a mum, got married, became a mum, and did everything that I thought I was expected to do. Took my baby to have her vaccinations at 8 weeks old. She had six in one, which is DTaP, and she had that with rotavirus and meningitis. So she had eight pathogens injected in one hit, which is very common. That's quite normal. What I didn't expect was for her to have a non-febrile convulsion 20 minutes afterwards. And when then I started to question why that might have been, and being kind of closed doors and it would be nothing to do with the vaccine, I thought, why are they so shut down that it could be linked to that? This was a baby that had absolutely no issues, was absolutely fine, sleeping well, eating well. Then all of a sudden, all of this has happened. So I started to research. And as I started to research, I started to realize that actually, this isn't something that is quite rare, as we are made out to believe. It's actually more common than we would think. And there is a lot of information that you have to dig for. And when you start to find it, it is a bit of a rabbit hole. So that was a bit of an awakening for me. And I started to look more into holistic medicine. During this time, my mum was very sick. So my mum was suffering from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And she had that for 10 years and she was slowly losing lung capacity. They put her on high dose steroids. She became oxygen dependent. And then on the 28th of January, 2013, I had a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I watched my mum pass away, and she was 64. And that was all because of her lifestyle, because it all stemmed from smoking. My mum came from a very poverty-stricken background. Smoking and drinking was commonplace. They were anesthetics to life, if you like. They didn't have very nutrient-dense food. They couldn't afford it. So she kind of had made really poor decisions, but without realizing she was making poor decisions, because there was no education around that. I've actually got a photo of my mum heavily pregnant with me. And there is an ashtray on her bump, and she's smoking. Because back then, I mean, we can judge, but back then, no one was told, don't smoke in pregnancy, it will harm the baby. But I was born with asthma. And then, as a consequence of that, got sick throughout my childhood, which probably led to my autoimmune condition because I had a lot of antibiotics. But the big wake-up call was losing my mum, and 5 days later, my biological dad also died. So my mum died on the Monday, and my dad died on the Friday.
Oh my
Both of
gosh.
them died of diet and lifestyle-related conditions. Most people say to me, "Oh, did your dad die of a broken heart?" And Well, actually, no, they hadn't been together for 30 years. In fact, they didn't even like each other very much. It's just the way the cookie crumbled. My dad was a long distance lorry driver. He was very sedentary. He stopped at every greasy spoon to have his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He smoked, and when he wasn't working, he drank. So he also had a very toxic lifestyle and probably didn't have that education as well to say, especially in his early years, those things are going to really damage your health. So as a consequence, he ended up having strokes and heart attacks. So there I was at 35 thinking, wow, my genetics aren't looking too great now because I've lost both parents. They were both 64, and I've got an autoimmune condition. I'm 35. Are my children going to have this fate when they're in their 30s, having to say goodbye to a parent too young when they might have 20, 25 years left? And I thought, actually, genetics might load the gun, but we are the ones that pull the trigger. So let's just start to take a little bit of control back. And I started to study nutrition. And I actually only done that to heal myself.
I love
And as I started this journey into more natural modes of healing, it was like a light bulb had come on. And I remember this defining moment sitting in a lecture about gut health. And my professor was talking about intestinal permeability and how the gut can become leaky and all the reasons this happens. And he's talking about diet and stress and lifestyle. And then he said medication. And I was thinking, hang on a minute, I was on antibiotics for the first 10 years of my life, more often than not. There was always a bottle of pink banana medicine in the fridge, amoxicillin, and that's because my mum smoked and I had chest infection after chest infection all the time.
Wow.
And they're talking to me about this destroys the gut, it breaks down the functions of the gut, and I'm sitting there knowing that I have a condition that is really down to how the gut's functioning. So in my mind, I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, if I start to do some gut restorative work, I could get my condition into remission. Nobody has spoken to me about this before. And as a student, I'm thinking, am I being really naive? There's only one way to find out, right? So I took myself on a healing protocol. And to cut a very long story short, I haven't had a B12 injection for 14 years now. I documented my whole journey in my book, Mind Body Miracle, that I wrote in 2017. And that was all the healthy habits that I used to heal my mind and my body because both were quite broken at that time. Very, very basic things. Probably would write the book very differently if I wrote it now, but it's coming up to a decade old. So, but it does lay very strong foundations for people to get some of the basics right. And that is really what I teach my clients. It's what I teach my students because I also teach holistic medicine. And I teach about laying strong foundations. You know, we go so quickly into biohacking and certain diets. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, you're not even eating an anti-inflammatory blood sugar stable diet at this point in time. That is really, really key and basic. And if you're not doing that and you're not getting the right amount of hours sleep and you're not making sure that you're moving your 10,000 steps a day, you're not drinking ample fluids, we probably don't want to be looking at the biohacking at this point in time.
I think you just nailed it. Like, I think that's where so many people go wrong because sometimes it's just back to basics. You know, like you said, hydration, sunlight, eating the right foods, and just taking it down to the basic levels of things of how you can start to feel so much better. That's the first thing I address too, is sleep with my clients too, right? It's like, are you sleeping? Because if you don't get that in check, you're not detoxing your brain, which is you need to get into that REM cycle to do it. And if you're not doing that, nothing else can really function properly, if we're being honest. Right?
Yeah, this is the conversations that I have all the time, and I think it's so overcomplicated by design as well. I think it serves the industry for it to be overcomplicated because then people need to go and seek help to decipher all of these messages. But I always say to my clients, I need you not to need me, because actually what we know is very basic It's intuitive to human nature, and we've become so outside of that with information overload, which, the internet and information being so accessible, we're in a world of information. Ignorance is a choice at this point, but it's also, it can be overwhelming, it can create confusion, and we've lost the basic messages because we've had all of this complicated stuff layer up on top. And actually, when we filter it back, rip down all the complicated stuff and just look at what the foundations are. And this is really what I learned. So after I finished my nutrition course, I went to study holistic health coaching with the Czech Institute, which are renowned in the States. Paul Czech, it was a trailblazer of his time, still is. And he talks about the last four doctors that you'll ever need, which is Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Happiness, and Dr. Movement. And if you can take something from each of those doctors, then you're never, well, you're very l less likely to have to need an allopathic doctor. But we've become so out of touch with those four things that allopathic medicine, which has its place, but it's our go-to, it's our first thing, it's the new original medicine. It shouldn't be the original, it should be the emergency when everything else doesn't fall into place.
And I say that as a pharmacist, right? Like, there's a time and place. I'm not against Western medicine. It saves lives. There's a lot of acute things. If you have something that is more of an urgent acute thing, or even if it's something where you're taking a prescription maybe to, bridge a gap in something. Even I always like to preface this too as like a pharmacist, and I know this is like related and unrelated to what we're talking about, but like I always say it with like antidepressants and when people have depression and anxiety, sometimes people can't get the gut right fast enough to get to the place where they're not feeling so like, mental health and wellness is in a crisis in our world. And I feel like so many people are trying to get that right. And sometimes it's like, well, maybe not even all the time, maybe for not like a permanent thing, but even if it's something to bridge a gap, I never want people to feel ashamed if they need to be on a medication for something because they can do great things. And I always like to preface it with that because I never want people to feel like, oh, prescriptions are terrible. If you need them, take them. But again, like you said, we should look at those basic things because when we heal from the root, when we fix things at the root, if it's a gut imbalance and we know that that's where 90% of our serotonin, our happy hormone, lives, if our gut's off and that serotonin's off, then all of our neurotransmitters aren't functioning and firing properly. We're not sleeping, and it becomes the hamster wheel in the cycle that we can't get off of. And as a pharmacist, I would see that somebody would go on a medication for something, and then the next thing you know, it was like they were treating each symptom with a prescription, and then, 6 months later, they'd be on four prescriptions when they started out with the one. And it's almost like, again, not judging anybody. Everybody needs to do their own journey. But at the same time, it was almost like sometimes, I don't want to be part of the problem. I know I have the solution, but I don't want to be part of the problem, which is kind of my own transition from traditional pharmacy into the health and wellness space, because that's where the true healing begins when you start with the basics,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most important thing with pharmaceuticals, and the thing that I am actually an advocate and an activist for, is informed consent and informed choice. So I think oftentimes when I work with clients, they will come to me on a really long list of prescription medication. And when I actually speak to them about what they're on, what it's doing to their body, what the things it might be depleting, how it's working, the mechanisms of it working inside of the body, they are clueless. Now, that is medical negligence, as far as I'm concerned, because I believe that if you are giving something to a person, you should be explaining to them exactly what that's going to do to them and how it's going to work in the body, the kind of things it might deplete, so they might have to adapt supplements or diet, so then they can make a fully informed choice. But what I'm seeing, and it comes across as anti-pharma, I'm absolutely not. But what I really dislike is when we are not being given the right to make a fully informed choice. And if we, how can we make a fully informed choice if we're not given all the information? And just like once upon a time, I used to put doctors on a pedestal and just take the advice that they gave me without questioning it. We can't do that. We need to make sure that we have all of the information. And then when I have parents often come to me and say, should I vaccinate my child? I know you had a really bad experience. What do you think now? And I say, What I think and what you think is irrelevant. Actually, you need to make your own decision, but make sure it's a fully informed decision. Go and look at both sides of this argument. Go and look at both sides of the story. Go and speak to your doctor and GP, but also go and read some books and watch some documentaries that are very well studied and have links to even governmental studies so that you can make a fully informed choice and decide what's best for your child. No one else can decide that apart from you. We shouldn't be railroaded into these decisions with coercive control. I also see it all the time around chemotherapy and cancer. The currency of fear is used. You know, if you don't have this, you will die, which is so uncalled for and unnecessary. The last thing somebody wants to be told when they have been given a diagnosis like that is something so harsh and dark and given them such a toxic mindset. I studied hypnotherapy as well, and the impact that that can have on somebody's psychological thinking is insane,
It
absolutely insane.
is. It is. It is until I actually have had I did a podcast on it way back when one of my friends and colleagues, a pharmacist, kind of went down that path, and we did a whole thing where she did the therapy on me, and we did a before and after podcast. It is amazing the things that we have the power to do with our mind, with things that are either natural or even just the power of breath work or controlling our vagus nerve and little small exercises. It's amazing that, you know, that it's not talked about more, that these little, I don't even know, these little pearls of wisdom, everything that you just said just almost is so spot on, to the point where exactly that, when I would be in the pharmacy setting, same thing. Should I vaccinate? Should I this chemotherapy? And it was almost like it's a personal choice and not one of us are the same. And it almost has to be an informed decision, like you said, where, you know, do your homework. I can give you education. We can talk about it. We can talk about even like you have had your experience and you can say, this is what happened to me and this is why I would make the choice that I make. But it really is about an informed consent. When people come in the pharmacy, sometimes people didn't want to hear, hey, are you picking up that statin medication for your cholesterol? Well, that's another rabbit hole to dive down, how statin medications work. That's a whole nother conversation in itself. To me, I think it's a joke the way that they are used. But nonetheless, if you are going to be on this medication, it really depletes CoQ10, an enzyme in your body that is essential for cardiovascular function. You really need to supplement with that because it absolutely depletes it. So many people get chronic fatigue and muscle cramps, and they're affecting their liver and their metabolism, and then other things start to go haywire because of that. And it's just the whole matter of you should be informed of what exactly is going on in your body and the repercussions, and yes, make that decision, not just up the doctor said, because yes, I feel like my parents' generation, and even into me, and the way that I learned as a pharmacist 20 years ago when I graduated from pharmacy school, how I practiced pharmacy based on that very same way of up, oh, doctor said, okay, you know, this is what we do, this is how we do things, even dispensing medications. It's all protocol. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when you sit down with one of your clients in the one-on-one space and you just actually listen to somebody talk for a half an hour, listen to somebody talk, you can see exactly what's going on in their body. A lot of times, their physical symptoms can be related to past traumas or emotional issues and things that have either happened years ago or maybe just a current, you know, stress factor. Oh, you know, everybody has, you know, oh, aging parents, teenage kids, financial traumas, all these things like, oh, it's just normal stress. But those things take a toll on your body when you're like, oh, I'm not really processing them. I'm just going to hold on to them and just keep going in that fight or flight state that we are just in this hustle bustle 2025 world where everything's a touch and go. We scroll, the dopamine hits from scrolling on the line. You know, you push a button, you get food delivered. You push a button, you get anything you want in less than an hour. You know what I mean? It's wild, but this is the way that our bodies, not even our, like our bodies have become accustomed to living this, and taking it back to like grassroots is so important.
And two examples of that I can give you personally. So when my mum died, she'd been on steroids for 10 years. They put her on what they said was going to be a short course of steroids, and that was to suppress the infection that was in her chest And then she would come down on the dose and eventually come off of them. She was never able to get off of them because every time she reduced the dose, the infection then started to come back and rage again. Because if those that are listening don't know, the long name of steroids is corticosteroids. Corticosteroids is because they are using cortisol synthetically in the body to trick the body into believing it's stressed. Because when we are stressed, our immune system is suppressed. So it falsely suppresses the immune system, so downregulates it. So any infections get kind of downregulated. But as soon as you then start to reduce the dosage, then that's going to come up again. So it's not fixing anything, it's just silencing it, turning the volume down. But she yo-yoed on them for 10 years. And it wasn't until afterwards, because remember, at that time I was an accountant, and it wasn't until afterwards when I actually started to look into drug and herb interactions and depletions through my own studies, that I found that steroids, especially here in the UK, there's two particular drugs that deplete the most, and they are so renownedly used. One of them is steroids. It depletes practically every vitamin and mineral in the body. And the other one, which is my own personal experience, which I'll explain in a minute, is the birth control pill. Which, you know, how many people are on that? How many women? But with the steroids, it depletes every vitamin and mineral in the body. And my mum had so many other conditions which we didn't realize were a consequence of the steroids. We just thought that she was just unlucky. No one had said to us, it's probably the steroids that are doing this.
Yes.
So, for example, she was losing bone in the bottom of her back and becoming hunched over. And that was because the calcium and the magnesium was depleted in the body. She was also had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue because lots of the different nutrients that are needed for the muscle system and the musculoskeletal system and the nerves were all being depleted. And nobody ever said, just take a multivitamin or make sure you get more of this in your diet. These are the things it's depleting. So when I look at my mum's story, it's multifaceted because she came from poverty. Ancestrally, we carry a lot of TB in that side of this family. So she already had a weakness in the lungs genetically. So the lungs were fully loaded in terms of the genes were fully loaded, the trigger was fully loaded. But obviously, she decided to pull it unwittingly through smoking. And that was normalized because of her poverty background, and nobody's educating her. And then she goes to the doctors for help, and they just put her on things to silence things until she's actually depleting so much in her body that her body's now shutting down. And she dies at 64 years old. And this is so common. And I, from my own story, I was put on a birth control pill when I was 13 years old. And I was put on it because my periods were so heavy, I was passing out of school. And it's so common. I hear it all the time now, especially in this age group. I'm 47. So I hear it a lot that, oh, yeah, I was just put on the pill when I was a teenager because my periods were so bad. And I remember sitting in the GP with my mum, and my mum saying to the doctor, "Are you sure the pill? She's 13." And they said, "No, it's going to sort her periods and regulate it. It's what we use it a lot for now." So I was put on that from 13. I didn't come off it till I was 29, so I had my first baby, and I ended up very, very anemic. And now what I've learned is birth control depletes a hell of a lot in your body, but
A
it
lot.
also depletes stomach acid. And stomach acid is needed to break down iron. And the amount of women who end up anemic on the birth control pill, and one of the reasons they went on the birth control pill is because their periods were heavy and they were becoming tired. It's exacerbated the problem.
Right? And then you're taking something that's worsening, literally worsening the
I know, but
problem.
you see it time and time and time. That's just two examples. There are so many, and it is just mind-blowing. And when you sit and break it down, and I literally see the cogs turning in my clients where they're like, oh my God, I thought this was helping me. And then to add to this, what we've got now, we are the generation of the endometriosis, the adenomyosis, the fibroids, the polyps, the ovary issues, the infertility issues. Don't tell me that there's not a link to these are the women that as kids were just whacked on birth control with synthetic estrogen plowing through their bodies. And now all of these conditions are estrogen dominant. Don't tell me there's not a link.
Listen, I'm so glad that you just said this because your story is very similar to my story. I think I was around 15 and I have had endometriosis since I was 15. And the first answer was birth control, which it wasn't, oh, it'll help you regulate your heavy periods and your heavy pain, your cramps and everything. And it wasn't helping. Oh, then we'll do it straight through where we suppress it and you just don't take the inactive. So you're like, so let's stop the period and whatever. It was worsening. It would just kept worsening. And to the point where my first surgery for it was probably when I was 19, but it was, long story short, infertility. I was able to have my son, but I was never able to have any other babies. But this is the first half of my career that everything was, well, this is what we do. Western medicine. We take birth control. We shut down our cycles. We do these things that are, we do surgeries. We do the things that are, okay, the doctor said. And all of the things, anemic, everything that you just touched on, you just were describing me in a nutshell. And it wasn't until I was 40, I'm 45 now, that my doctor wanted to do a hysterectomy. And she was still like, well, that's probably still not going to help these painful things you're having because it can still grow in other places. So, we could try to start there or maybe remove, your ovaries and fallopian tubes. And I remember leaving the office that day. I burst into tears and I called my friend who is very crunchy, granola, holistic. And I picked up the phone sobbing and I was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want another surgery. I'm like, I'm so sick and tired of this running my life every time I think I have it under control. And she's like, first of all, you're going to get off that pill, that damn pill. And I was like, okay. And this is kind of when my real transition in my shift in my career happened through my own health and wellness journey. When I started to hone in on my diet and decrease the anti-inflammatory things and control my blood sugar and learn about nervous system work and do all of these other natural things is when I was able to start controlling other things. And here, I mean, at this point, I'm done having babies, but at this point, I was never able to, like, the things that I didn't know then and the things that I was going through the motions with, and again, the pain, the anemia, the fatigue, all of the things that came along with it, how I was depleting myself and losing hair and all of these other things that were going on in my body for so many years. And taking a step back and being like, geez, this is what I do now in practice. I talk about drug depletion to my pharmacy patients. Hey, if you must take these drugs, then you must take these things to supplement because you are depleting your body and then you're making it worse and causing other symptoms and other diseases in the body. So I love that you just brought this up because I think that awareness for people to understand is like, so it's fire. And even to kind of wrap it around to what we were talking about, the internet and social media, I put a post up the other day just about this very thing. And I basically said the cringe factors that I had about when I dispensed birth control and I listed the things that could happen in the body. And a lot of people were like, thanks for the great information. And then there was a lot of haters that were like, oh, if I had a pharmacist telling me something cringy, dispensing, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, this isn't, again, informed decision. I'm just telling you what birth control can do to your body. You should, it's just tossed out like it's candy, and girls are taking it, young girls are taking it. And exactly like you said, our generation, we're right around the same age. We were put so many girls in our generation, not just for birth control, but to regulate periods and fix all of these problems, endometriosis, PCOS, all these things that now, now all the same people in our generation, they're approaching with hysterectomies and these other, things to alter our bodies. And it's like, okay, did you try nutrition stuff? Did we look at taking some B vitamins and looking at how our body's processing them and taking it back to where we started to the gut, right? They're messing with our gut acid. We want our guts to be acidic and absorb things because that's how our bones get strong. That's how our muscles get strong. That's how we have healthy hair, skin, nails, everything about our bodies, the way that our gut absorbs. So if we're taking something to mess with that absorption, again, now we're working counterintuitively back to iron, right? We're taking it because we're low in iron and that's why we're having these symptoms. And now we're taking something that's depleting the absorption of our iron.
So the moral of the story is go and have a coffee with your crunchy friend, give her a big hug, and just have a little listen to what she has to say, please, because I am the crunchy
I was
friend.
just gonna say, we're the crunchy friends now. It's absolutely true. And that is the moral of the story. And that is it. It's informed decision making and really looking at what is going on and even just eyes wide open, right? Like, I remember when my son was a baby, he's going to be 18 in a week. And I remember separating his vaccines. And I remember the doctor giving me a hard time when I got him vaccinated because I just said, there's no reason for him to have eight things injected him at once. So, you can give him a couple today. And I don't care how many times I have to come back, but I want to break them down and separate them. You don't know what anybody, and I say this with all vaccines, when somebody comes in, they're like, oh, I want to, get a flu and a COVID vaccine. And it's like, you never know what your body and your immune system is doing in any given moment, right? So if like you have an autoimmune situation, or even if you are fighting off the common cold that your body's exposed to and your body's doing its job naturally, and then you put something in it that's creating an immune wave in your body, that's when bad things can happen. And you never know these things that are going on, whether it's a child, a baby, an adult, whatever. And sometimes it's opening our eyes to it. And sometimes it's having an experience like you had, where you had a hellacious experience that you learned the hard way and had to deal with such a terrible thing with your child. Talk about that.
Yeah, so as I said at the time, I was a just normal mum. I wasn't a crunchy mum then. Did what I was told. Had this horrendous experience. So she had she was okay after the convulsion, but it definitely impacted her immune system. So people go to me, well, how long did it last for? I have no idea. It felt like an hour, but it was probably seconds. And I don't know why, but she was in her pram still. I'd just got her home and I could hear a strange noise. I was in the kitchen and I could hear a strange noise. It just sounded like someone was tapping at the front door where I'd left her pram. And as I walked back into the hallway, the pram was shaking and it was the pram handle knocking on the radiator and the wall that was the noise I could hear. And she was convulsing. And I don't know why, to this day, I don't know why, but I picked her up, just went outside in the street with her. I don't know why, I just thought, get air. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Anyway, it seemed like she stopped fairly quickly, but actually, it also felt like an hour. I first rang my mum, she was alive then, and was like, oh my God, I don't know why it just happened. And she said, ring the doctors because it's probably linked to what she's just had. Rung my doctor surgery, and they actually said to me, believe it or not, oh, that is quite common. So if you want to just give some Calpol, which is Tylenol, then that will help. I said, but she hasn't got a temperature. They said, no, just give it. And then if it happens again, call us or call an ambulance if you're worried. And I just put the phone down thinking, what the actual, this is common?
And you didn't tell me before, like
Exactly. So the first thing I did was I went on to the internet and I got up the vaccine insert and I started to read the vaccine insert, which I was not given in the GP appointment. So, in the interest of informed consent, you should be given that insert to have a read through. I believe that the healthcare provider who's booking the vaccines. Into your book, in the UK, we have this baby book and you get everything booked in. At that point, that's when they should give you the information so you have time to look through it, read it, and decide if you're going to go through with the appointment. But you're not going to get any of that. You have to look for it yourself. I found it on a website. And as I was reading through, I noticed that one of the warnings was that it can increase sudden infant death syndrome. And as I was reading this, I'm thinking, what the actual that my I've taken the most precious thing in the world, in my world, into a system that I believe is there for our safety. They've given us something that's clearly reacted with her. They've then poo-pooed it and brushed it under the carpet. And then when I'm going to look to see if this could possibly be one of the triggering things, there's this kind of information attached to what she's just had. There's no way in the world I would have allowed her to have that if they said to me, by the way, it has been known that cot death happens after this vaccine. You okay with that? There's no, oh yeah, of course I'm okay with that. Inject her up. There's no way any parent would agree to that. They just wouldn't.
No, and I think it's wild because I feel like, there's always been a part of me that's been like I'm the inquisitive person. So when I started to open my eyes in my career as a pharmacist and ask like the whys, I don't know if you remember, like when my son was a baby, it was like right before he was born, there was started to be the talk about relating autism to childhood vaccinations.
Yes.
So it was like there was the 50% of people that were like, yes, absolutely. Then there was the 50% that were like, no, you're crazy. And most of them, the doctors were like, no, absolutely not. This has been studied, like blah, blah, blah. But then I knew personal people that it happened to. My child was normal, would look me in the eyes, and all of a sudden it was like the lights were on, but nobody was home. Or like that was when, I don't know if you remember or not, like how old your daughter's, Jenny McCarthy.
Yes, I
She
do.
spoke about all of it with her son. And it was right before, I believe that book came out, or right before when I was pregnant with my son. And I just read it because she wrote one about marriage and stuff. And it was like kind of all the stuff that it was going on in my life. And to me, like it was funny. So it was like she was very relatable to like just funny things that happen in marriage and pregnancy and blah, blah, blah. And then she came out with the book about that. And I was like, I read it and it was like, wow. And it was like a direct correlation. And then when she kind of figured out a lot of it had to do with gut health and what he was eating and all of these things. But it's so funny even still too that I kind of it wasn't like it was a proven thing, and then it was people kind of shaming you if you didn't do it. So it was kind of like a, well, I guess this is what we have to do, especially entering into the school system. You have to give vaccine records and all these things. So it was like I went with what I knew and what the mainstream was, and I kind of erred with caution and I broke them up. But when there was a lot, when it wasn't just one or two given, I broke them up. But at the same time, this is where I think almost my like whys started to begin in my career and started to shift from like that almost like that root cause approach, like what is actually going on in the body when we do anything, whether it's a vaccine, a medication, and why do things happen in the body? Because it's like, yes, you can take a drug to stop it at any point in the chain of action of what we're doing, or in your mom's case, we can take a steroid to trick the body into thinking, hey, this is what's going on. We're going to suppress things and basically block receptors and make our body think things are happening. And that can help people feel better quickly, right? Like by taking that. But in the grand scheme of things, that root cause stuff is where it's the root cause is what it ultimately comes down to, right? What are the effects of what I'm doing? Where do they originate? And going from the point where you said, as a mom, that's so scary because why would I ever do this? Why would I ever make this decision to do this if they would have told me to make an informed decision on my child? And then almost feeling guilty afterwards. I feel like in our society now, it's like you're almost felt like you can take either approach of like guilty of, well, you're not vaccinating your child, you're going to cause disease. Or then it's like you're going to put that into your child. So I feel like there's so much controversy with that. And it's like, as a parent, it's like taking it back again to like what is right for you and what is right for your child. And if you had to do it all again, like going through what you went through and sharing your story with people, that's like you're an amazing advocate for that, because if you don't know, you don't know. And a lot of times we still just, oh, what did the doctor say, right?
And I think also reactions and ill health and getting better, all of it is multifaceted. So my eldest daughter, who was injured by the vaccine, and it really it has gone on to impact her immune system. We have lots of different immune issues, but she also has lots of psychological issues. So she suffers from a lot of anxiety. She's had OCD. And who's to know that she would have not have been like that anyway. I don't know because I don't have a comparison. But what I do know is I have another child who's never had a vaccine in her life, and her health is very different. So there's my difference.
Yes.
But we have to remember that my eldest was born to a mum who had gut damage herself. So I didn't pass on a great microbiome to her. I didn't pass on great genetics to her. My second baby, although that's come from the same mum, was birthed to a very different from a very very different woman. I'd done lots of healing at that stage. That's when I'd done my gut restoration. And so I think you have to look at all the different layers. And I think it's too simple to say, as we've just seen over in the States, there's been a big hoo-ha, Tylenol in pregnancy, Tylenol's linked to autism. I'm sure there's links, but I'm not sure it's the only reason. And this is what I mean. Everything is so multifaceted now. It's diet, it's lifestyle, it's environmental exposure, it's ancestral trauma, it's genetics.
Yes, all of
It's
it.
so much. So that's why you're not going to get one child reacts the same as all the other children when they are exposed to the same medicine. But when you look at it like that, you also shouldn't be using a one size fits all in pharmaceutical medicine either. Because if you're going to say that o only one child is going to react, one in 100 is going to react, I've plucked that figure up, one in 100 is going to react, for example, then we've also got to look at, well, then in that case, how many is it actually going to impact and make better? And that's for all medicine, because if we are so all multifaceted when it comes to what makes up our health and our dis-ease, then it's never going to be a targeted enough approach to go, for this, we give that. It's too simplified. We've got 21st century diseases now, which are multifaceted and layered. And because we have 21st century diseases, we need 21st century solutions. And those 21st century solutions are also layered and multifaceted. It's not just going to be nutrition that's going to fix it. It's not just going to be de-stressing and getting the right amount of sleep and doing some breath work. It's a little bit of everything. And those things might sound too basic and simple, but when they're done with consistency, and you're bringing your body back to that level of homeostasis that it's so out of in today's world, then you're going to see such a big difference over time.
100%. And I, you're just, you're speaking to my soul, because I say this to my clients and even potential clients, you know, when people are, want to work with me and they're trying to understand, what we do as practitioners. And it's like, yes, it's not just, oh, here, take these supplements and detox your body. You know, it's, we're detoxing the mind. I feel like, and a lot of times even holistic practitioners get it wrong. It's like, oh, we just focus on the gut, or we just focus on a liver cleanse, or we just focus on, the mental health and wellness. It's like you have to kind of do all of them in the right order and making sure you're getting them all in check. It's like your check engine light in your car coming on and being like, okay, there's something going on, but it's not like everything affects everything, and you can't segment one section of the body out and say, oh, we're just going to work on the cardiovascular system, we're just going to work on the digestive system. You need to look at the body as a whole and address all of the things. And a lot of it, again, comes down to the basics. But I always say my pillars are like, we have to look at the gut, we have to look at the liver, we have to look at cellular function down to the cell. Are we hydrating properly with the right minerals? Just even just staying hydrated, sleeping properly, looking at the lymphatic system, right? We don't have anything that pumps that stuff that just sits in that drainage system that's like toxic. Like, that's all of these environmental factors, so many things that we're exposed to. It's just like the turn a blind eye thing that so many people do. And it's like, all right, in this day and age, it's like we just have to realize that things are out there. Our soil's not the same soil of our ancestors. Our food is different. Our crops are different. All of these things that we're processing in factories and chemicals, they're in the air. We're breathing them in. There's so many factors. And then taking genetics into fact into to the component into the mix. And then, looking at the big picture. But I think it's just that, like, we can't turn the blind eye anymore, and we have to be proactive to say, okay, what's good for me? Because what is good for me might not be good for you, right? Like, I live on a golf course, and I know when they go and spray, I'm walking the dog. Like, it's my circumstances, but I know that I take certain binders and certain things to keep my body healthy from that. When I know that I'm exposed to those chemicals, like, okay, it's time to work on, my gut. Like, I know it sounds silly, but those things disrupt our gut microbiome, right? Like, those different chemicals and toxins and what we're breathing and eating. So it takes it back down to, like you said, looking at the big picture and not just honing in on one thing, but taking it down to basics and looking at all of the factors and what's good for me might not be good for you or this person or that person or this child or this child. Everybody needs to be looked at as a bio individual and not just a cookie cutter approach of, oh, everybody gets this, everybody gets that, which is, is what we do in Western medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the lovely thing is that people are starting to realize now that that is not the way forward. I have an abundance of people that are now coming to see me that are saying that they've never really looked at any kind of holistic medicine before, but what they do know is that their prescription's getting longer and longer, and they're not getting any better. In fact, their problems might be getting worse, and they want to lay some strong foundations to take ownership for their own health, because it is a very disempowering model to just hand your health over to somebody to then just add to your prescription each time you go to see them, which is why I say to my clients, I need you to not need me. I want to give you a toolbox so that you can go, right, when I feel like this, I'm going to dip into this, I'm going to do this. This is what she told me to do. And if you need to reach out occasionally, fine. But I shouldn't be a crutch like your GP,
Yep.
because also a very disempowering model. And we need health empowerment. Health empowerment is helping people to make big decisions about their health with information, so that informed choices. And if they can do that outside of a medical setting, then that's really great, because the medical setting, although it holds a place, it can also be a very disempowering setting where they actually are handing ownership up to their health to somebody else.
Absolutely. And I love how you worded it. I always say that to my patients too. I say, I give you the toolbox. You shouldn't need me after we're done this time together where we're working on all the things. You have, of course, you can reach out. I'm always here, but you should have the toolbox. But I love that. I need you to not need me, right? Like I need you to learn these and take them, go forth with them. And I think that's really owning your health and wellness. And that's what, like you said, more and more people are opening their eyes to it. It's becoming more of a common talk than just, oh, that crunchy person that's weird doing the weird things. It's like becoming more mainstream of like, maybe there's something to that,
Yeah, it's lovely to see. Is that we're definitely in a flourishing industry at this point in history. Once upon a time, we were the witches they burned at the stake.
Right? We're like, we're innocent. No, it's true. It absolutely is. It's like, and talking sometimes people that don't know about it and educating them. Sometimes people that are just new to it are like, wait, what are you talking about? And then it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay. So to wrap things up, you wrote your book, Mind Body Miracle, back in 2017. So what, talk about the good things coming up about your new book. Talk about that.
So my biggest passion is children, probably stemming from the fact of my daughter being injured, and then you kind of attract what you are. And I've ended up working with a lot of children who have particularly been on the spectrum. And although that is not always something that we can completely change, depending on the root cause of this, but it is something that we can definitely help support and manage and improve significantly. Now, I've worked with mute children and they've began speaking. I've worked with children who have significant tics and they no longer tic. So there is a lot of stuff that we can do neurologically that we can support through supplements, through diet. So it's always been my passion working with children. And I have a project coming up that I'm launching at the beginning of next year, which is called HEAL, which stands for Homeopathic Experts Assisting Little Ones. It's a register where we will have homeopaths who are willing to treat children under the age of 12 for free. So you can go onto the register, type in your zip code, find your local homeopath, and then you have an alternative to the GP, because obviously in the UK we have free healthcare and lots of parents are taking their children to see a GP just because it's free, not because they believe in the system. And there's no alternative. So I wanted to provide an alternative that's more holistic so that people don't have to pay. I do want to roll this out worldwide, but at the moment I'm reaching out to UK homeopaths naturopaths to see if they are willing to go on the register. To go on the register, they have to agree to treat 10 children a year for free. And we've already had a lot of sign-ups. So that's going to be launched at the beginning of January. And that's very exciting. To go alongside that, I'm also releasing my second book, which is called Killing Them Softly. And it is everything that we do to our children that we believe we are doing out of love, but it's slowly destroying their health. So that's going to cover over prescribing things like antibiotics, the ever-growing vaccine schedule. It's going to cover nutrition and bliss point technology and addiction to food and all the things that it's impacting. Smartphone and device usage, the disconnection in the modern family, not spending enough time outside in nature, interruption in birth. So, we used to have these natural births with delayed cord clamping, and very few births were intervened with things like C-sections or ventouse, and that actually impacts from the get-go. And even before that, fertility and how we're nurturing mums in pregnancy, it is a vast subject. But I believe, again, coming full circle, if we lay some very strong foundations, very basic things when it comes to how we raise our children, actually going more back towards the nourishing traditions, and not making it too time consuming, because that's a big thing for parents as well. But we could completely change the paradigm of our children's health going forward just by some very basic things, which will all be in the book. And then obviously that's why we want the homeopathic register launched at the same time.
Oh, I love this. I think this is the work that you're doing is amazing. I commend you for it. And I look forward to the day where it's here in the United States, and you have to keep me posted on all of that. But I will absolutely, I mean, I would this will be shared with both of our listeners and both our social media and everything. So, in our show notes and everything, we will have ways to get in touch with it. You can send me all the links, and as we update things, as you get those links and it gets rolled out at the beginning of the new year, for people that are listening to this, and obviously everybody won't be listening right now here. People might be listening to this after it's rolled out, but we'll have all of the links and updates and everything attached to it so that people can reach out and get in touch with you and this program. And your book sounds like, I mean, it's everything that we know, and it's almost the things that, like, we're in this busy lifestyle that go by the wayside. And I think it's going to be a great educational piece and just eye opener for a lot of parents. I'm looking forward to reading it as well. So I just commend you for all of the amazing work that you're doing, and we'll have to do this again when your program rolls out, so you can talk more about it as you're going through it. It's just beautiful what you're doing. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. It's been so lovely to share all of my story and what's coming up. Yeah, I think we can really make a difference with the children, and I hope that just by providing this information, and it really fits in actually with what we're talking about, because I've had this idea. Obviously, it's coming up for nearly 10 years that I wrote Mind Body Miracle, and I've had this idea of Killing Them Softly since I was writing Mind Body Miracle. But had I wrote this book 10 years ago, there's no way it would have been as well received as it's going to be today. The world is ready to hear this now. We are starting to see parents. I don't know if you have in the States, but in the UK, we have some charities and organizations that are now coming forward that are trying to ban smartphone usage in children, because they are recognizing the damage that it is doing to their mental health, to their ability to connect, and how it's actually rewiring things like dopamine, serotonin, so oxytocin, all of that. So there's so much research coming out now. It's so timely, and I think that I've just trusted the process and trusted that everything's going to happen in the divine timing it's supposed to. So it's a good time for the book to come out. I'm excited for people to have this information. Knowledge gains power when it's shared. There's no point anybody keeping their knowledge to themselves. We need to share it so that it stays long after I've been here.
I love it. I just love it. And I think, and again, like in show notes and everything, obviously this will be coming out in a week published, but as these links come, I want you to share them with me so we can, so I can add it to it, because I think it's going to be such a wealth of knowledge for people. And I love that you're just bringing awareness. Again, thank you for all that you do. And even just what you said, just even in the past 10 years, how much things have developed with technology and has become more common fodder, and how many more diseases and even cognitive issues, anxiety, depression, all these things with teenagers and children is at an all-time high. So I think this is going to be so eye-opening for so many people.
I hope so. And then I hope that they make some changes to their behavior as a consequence of reading it, because that's the most important outcome.
Absolutely. Amen. All right, Jacqueline, thank you so much for being on. We have to do this again, and I appreciate you and all of your work.
Thank you so much.